When giving presents in advance, it is customary to attach a little label reading, "Do not open until Christmas." Tonight we give you a prize package. We pasted a label over his mouth. If he opens it before Christmas, he's Fred Allen in person.
Thank you. I just bend down low like that to show you my hair doesn't come off. You see? So many of those people come from Hollywood and give you those little bows, you know, because the thing goes on the card. Well, thank you and good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Say, Jimmy, that Yuletide toxin you just sounded, doesn't quite fit in with your attire.
Well, what do you mean, Fred?
Well, isn't this rather late in the season, James, to be wearing open-toed shoes?
Oh, these shoes were regular Oxfords, but I was doing some Christmas shopping in a department store this morning.
Well, how did the ends of your shoes get nipped off?
Well, I was coming down on an escalator, and I stepped off, all but my toes.
Oh, I see. Went much better the first
it
show,
did, didn't it?
I guess you should have another set of feet for the 12 o'clock show. Well, you know, those galloping ramps are pretty dangerous, Jimmy. I knew a fellow last year who tripped and sat down on an escalator. And, well, when they finally pried him out, he was wearing a tweed sarong. His trousers were ruined, no end. But, we just throw that in, you know, you gotta kill him now, okay?
Hiya, fellas, what's frying?
Well, Jimmy and I were barbecuing a little verbal fat, Kenny. We were just sort of talking about Christmas shopping.
Well, if that isn't a coincidence, I was at Macy's all afternoon.
Shopping?
No, I was tied up with Santa Claus.
Tied up with Santa Claus? You must have had some list.
Brother, I threw the book at him.
You asked Sandy for plenty, hey?
Did I? A bow and arrow, a pogo stick, a new yo-yo, an electric razor?
An electric razor? Well, isn't that a little too grown up, Kenny, after all?
Oh, I'm a big boy now. Look at this cheek.
What is that, fuzz?
It ain't mohair, brother. Santa Claus better come through.
Oh, now, Kenny, don't tell me that you think that fellow at Macy's is really Santa Claus.
I don't think it. I know it.
Well, how do you know it?
I got it straight from his brother, Gimbals.
I see.
He's got another brother on 14th Street. Boy, what a Santa Claus he is. With a dialect.
Really? You rarely get one complete with a dialect. Well, you managed to visit three department stores in this Christmas rush. Well, didn't the crowds bother you any?
Oh, it was pretty bad. It was so crowded on 33rd Street, one woman fainted and had to walk for four blocks before she could fall down.
I suppose they finally froze some water and icicles and passed it to her through the crowd to revive her. Well, the shopping crowds are terrible. Let you and I enjoy it, huh? After all, the audience gets the best of it. We've got a right once in a while to have a little fun here. You know, the crowds are terrible, the shopping crowds, Kenny. I heard about a sales girl who reported for work at Wanamaker's, sold three dresses at Klein's, and got paid off in Bloomingdale.
Boy, things are sure moving fast around the stores, F.A.
Oh, they sure are, K.B. In one busy toy department, they tell me, they're running the little kiddies across Santa Claus's lap on an assembly bell.
Well, as Fred Allen would say, so much for Santa Claus.
Well, I'll explain that. We tossed for that line, folks, and Kenny lost, so he had to say it. So as Kenny Baker would say, we turn to the latest news of the week. The Texaco News presents highlights from the world of news. Washington, D.C.
No news.
Nizhny Novgorod, Russia.
Толстой грабину, что такое шметана, но нос.
Shanghai, China.
Тай хонг, тай фуйонг, личи нат. No news.
Times Square, New York.
Times Tribune,
one mirror. Sorry, mister, no news.
Folks, it looks as though there's no news, but no news is good news. And the good news is that Kenny Baker sings for us now, There I Go. Kenny, if this was a Fantasia's time, you'd have taken two encores. Let us say to you, Kenny, that was fine. You were... You and would have been held over in Salt Lake, which was very hard. Kenny, that was being held over in Salt Lake was not what you think it is. But, Kenny, that was fine. It was not only pro rata, but the whole thing there. You were out of... Kenny, that was fine. Hey, at this time of night, you're lucky enough to think of a straight line. Who can think of something? Kenny, that was fine. You are in rare form tonight.
Yes, I've been practicing every day.
You have, really?
Yeah, I got to be in good voice this week.
Why?
Dennis Day gets into town.
Dennis
Day? Yeah, tomorrow.
Oh, boy, I guess you and Dennis, two tenors, have high old times when you get together.
Oh, boy, we're practically inseparable.
What do you fellas do, Kenny?
Well, generally I go over to Dennis's house and he sings for me, and then Dennis comes over to my house and I sing for him.
Well, this goes on all day?
Till night, yes.
And then what happens?
Well, Dennis and I generally go over to Frank Parker's house and sing duets for Frank.
Well, that sort of fills in the day, doesn't it?
Oh, it's monotonous.
Yes. In any special key? You ought to teach... look, Kenny, now, you ought to teach Dennis. Do him a favor when he gets off tomorrow. He'll be singing bass for 4 days after being up. You ought to teach Dennis that song you just sang a little while ago.
There I Go?
Yeah.
There I Go. I wonder how that song got its title.
How did you ever happen to think of a line like that? Because I know the answer, you see. Had I been this well prepared on information, please, it would have been another story. They're still penalizing Fadiman over there, you know. $125 it cost tonight. I was on. The auctioneer is talking slower since, you know. But you wonder how that song, There I Go, got its title? Well, I tell you, I'll be frank with you, Kenny. If you don't mind me incognito, I'll be frank. The song, There I Go, it was inspired by a remark Dr. Jekyll made one day as Mr. Hyde passed him on the street. As Mr. Hyde went by, Dr. Jekyll said, There I Go. Well, sir, if this observation didn't become the title of your song...
Oh, boy, wait till I tell Dennis. He's never been confronted with a fact.
Excuse me, Fred.
Wait a minute, Kenny. Were you through, Kenny? Well, all right. All right.
Excuse me again, Fred.
Well, you're coming in again? Or is it... yes, Larry.
Well, is this where I say a few words about Sky Chief Gasoline?
Well, yes, approximately now, Larry. But before you start, I have a great idea for you.
Well, what is it, Fred?
Well, did you see Walt Disney's picture, Fantasia?
Mm-hmm.
Well, remember those centaurs?
You mean those fabled creatures that were half human and half horse? Sure, what about them?
Well, why don't you write a commercial about centaurs? You know, you could make up a centaur fable, only bring it up to date and give it a commercial twist. Mm-hmm. Like a fable about creatures that are half human and half automobile.
Well, that would be no fable, Fred. That's the truth. A lot of good drivers are practically part of their cars.
Oh, Larry, you don't mean that there are people with gears for legs and the transmission where their heart should be? There's nobody that gets his blood changed every 1,000 miles now, after all.
Well, not quite that, Fred, but it's a fact that when you drive a car, you become part of it. You climb the hills. You steady it over the bumps. You guide it between the lines, around the curves, and on the straightaway.
Al Goodman and his band, who next week are making a personal appearance at a jukebox in Katie's Tavern on the Hempstead Turnpike, have just played The Man I Love. And now, ladies and gentlemen... Oh, hello, Portland.
Hello.
Well. Thank you, Issa. You ought to thank Mr. Goodman for starting your reception. Why he just applauds anybody from force of habit is that going with you? Well, what's new, Portland? And something had better be new, or the program's going to be 3 minutes short.
Well, I wanted to show you this time. telegram. It's for Mary Livingston.
Mary Livingston? Well, uh-huh. If it's for you, why show it to me?
Mary gets into New York tomorrow. She wants us both to come down to the depot to meet her.
Well, let me see that wire.
Here.
Having terrible time, Jack ran out of sandwiches at Kansas City. His thermos bottle ran dry. At Chillicothe. If you will meet us at the Grand Central with donuts and hot coffee, Jack will have enough strength to get to a hotel. Otherwise, I will have to leave him in the check room or ask Mr. Foster what to do with him. Why that feeny?
Don't they have a diner on that train?
Well, they have diners on all the California trains. Diners don't mean anything to Benny. To Benny, diner is only a song title.
Why is Jack coming to New York?
Well, Love Thy Neighbor opens at the Paramount next Tuesday, and Benny's coming from California with his tape measure to measure his name when they put it up on the marquee.
Well, will the marquee hold two of you?
They're testing it today. They'll know. You know, I'm surprised that the picture's even opening at the Paramount, Portland. With that ham in it, I thought it was a cinch to open in a delicatessen.
Where is Jack stopping in New York?
Who knows? The last time he stayed at the Sherry Netherland, he checked out the second day.
Why?
The hotel refused to press Benny's Kleenex. What a guy. He spent 3 days trying to find a glass-bottom taxi cab so he could ride down Broadway and look for cigar butts. An old Catalina playboy.
Did you hear Jack say you laugh at your own joke?
Well, a man's got to be pretty funny to make himself laugh, after all. You know, he's so close to himself, he gets sick of himself occasionally. That's quite... You know why Benny doesn't laugh on the air, don't you?
No, why?
Well, every time Benny tells a joke, it reminds him of what he's paying his writers pro rata who sold him the joke he's telling, you see? He's the only man I know whose tear duct connects with his pocketbook.
You'd better not go too far with Jack, Mr. Allen.
Well, who's afraid of that coward? Benny's so yellow, when he gets into a cab, you can't tell where the yellow cab leaves off and Benny starts.
And Jack was bragging how strong he was Sunday.
Strong? Benny's so weak, he only smokes one way. He can't exhale. And when he smokes, he's got it. Yeah? It's hard to fluoroscope him, you know. It always looks like the top of Mount McKinley. Benny's teeth are so sensitive, he has to have his dental floss warmed before he can use it. Hot dental floss. How do you like that? Well, that exhausts me on the flimsy subject at hand. Now, what about our guest, Portland?
He's the owner of the show that's had the longest run of any show ever produced in New York City.
Oh, you mean the producer of Tobacco Road?
No, this gentleman owns the flea circus.
Oh.
Mr. Allen, meet Mr. Roy Heckler.
Well, good evening, Mr. Heckler.
Good evening, Fred.
You, Mr. Heckler, are the sole producer and proprietor of the Flea Circus in Hubert's Museum on 42nd Street.
That's right, Fred. My flea circus has been there for 15 years.
15 years? Why, your show has had a longer run than AB's Irish Rose and Tobacco Road put together.
Yes, we've seen a lot of shows come and go.
Well, how many artists do you employ, Mr. Heckler?
I have 15 stars, yes. 15 understudies, and about 30 actors in training, all fleas.
Well, yours is indeed a unique theatrical troupe, Mr. Heckler. What do your little leaping thespians provide in the way of entertainment?
They do everything from juggling balls to running chariot races. Every one of my 15 stars has a different specialty.
Well, how can you possibly train a flea to do these things? Isn't it rather difficult?
Not at all, Fred. Fleas are quite intelligent and adaptable.
That is the first kind word I've ever heard anyone say about a flea, Mr. Heckler. In fact, it's the first remark I've ever heard about a flea that could safely be used on the air.
Well, fleas are greatly misunderstood, Fred.
Well, I don't agree with you, Mr. Heckler. I'm sorry. It's rarely that I don't agree with a guest, but when you say fleas are greatly misunderstood, I don't agree. One usually knows what a flea is getting at, Mr. Heckler. But tell me, can you train any old flea that wants to break into show business?
No. The ordinary flea is too short-lived for training purposes. We have to import a hardier specimen.
Well, how does the average Pekingese cricket live? How long does the Pekingese cricket live, as a rule, Mr. Heckler?
The normal lifespan is 2 to 3 years, but acting wears the flea out. He's usually through after 6 months.
Washed up, eh?
Right.
Well, what do you do then? Do fleas have a form of social security?
No. My actors all die in harness, Fred. I just put understudies in their places.
The show must go on. It's the old saying. Well, let's take a typical performing flea, Mr. Heckler, and trace his career from its humble beginnings to the dizzy heights of his Broadway success. Now, let me see. What would be a good name for a flea?
Malcolm isn't bad, Fred. I once had a flea named Malcolm.
Well, all right. Now, let's say Malcolm arrives in New York Harbor one day. He skips gaily off the boat, takes a nip out of the customs inspector, which he declares later, checks in at the Lambs Club and reports for work. Now, what happens?
Well, that's a little exaggerated, Fred.
Really?
Malcolm, arriving in a box with a lot of other fleas, the first thing I do is put a collar on him.
Sort of a shrunken lavalier. Hmm?
Yes. I make the collar out of fine copper wire. Malcolm wears it the rest of his life.
Well, is Malcolm's noose for ornamental purposes?
No. It's a safety measure. I pick up Malcolm, attach him to his props with a collar, and it avoids injury in the process of handling.
What is the initial step in the training routine, Mr. Heckler?
Well, first I have to break the flea of its frisky habits. He has to be taught to walk instead of skipping and hopping.
Well, how is that done?
I put him in a small horizontal glass tube. Every time he tries to hop, he bangs his head against the top of the tube. It only takes a couple of days.
When Malcolm staggers out, then he's... he's slap-happy but cured. What happens to him next?
I try to cast him in the show.
Well, you mean certain fleas have special talents?
Yes. Some fleas are natural strongmen.
Really?
Others make good jugglers or dancers, and some are born comedians.
And then I suppose they're the... they're not called fleas, though. then I suppose there is the... I suppose there is the complete dud or the Jill-O again type of flea. But let us say Malcolm seems to be a natural juggler. Now, what happens?
Oh, I teach him a couple of tricks and keep him as an understudy until the juggler I am working gives out.
Well, you're spared one headache most theatrical managers have, Mr. Heckler. At least you're not forced to cope with exhibitions of temperament backstage.
Oh, you're wrong, Fred.
Really?
Some fleas are very temperamental. They'll hardly work one day, and the next day they'll turn in swell performances.
A variety man out front or something. How do you account for this, Mr. Heckler?
Well, who can look into the soul of an artist, Fred?
How true. Truer words. But tell me, who would you say is your outstanding performer as of today?
Rudolph, the strongman flea, Fred. He turns a merry-go-round that weighs 400 times as much as he does. The only trouble is Rudolph is getting old.
What happens when a flea performer begins to age? Does he start to wrinkle up around the antenna? Does he start to go around showing old write-ups and bragging about his radio appearance on Flea the People?
No. Usually his legs begin to go, Fred. Fleas have weak ankles.
Well, I didn't know that. I'll bandage them in the future if I have any trouble with the elderly fleas. But who are some of your other stars beside the aging Rudolph, Mr. Heckler?
There's Patty, the Irish flea who jumps through a hoop. And there's Tommy, the football flea. Prince Henry, the juggler. And our closing act, Fifi, Sadie, and Peaches, the dancers.
That is a gallant array of microscopic talent, Mr. Heckler.
Yes, that's what all the critics say.
The critics? Well, don't tell me the news reviewed your flea circus and gave it 3.5 swats.
No, but George G. Nathan, Walter Winchell, and the late old McIntyre have all reviewed my show.
Say, with all that publicity, I'm surprised that some of your troopers haven't been drafted by Hollywood, Mr. Heckler.
They have, Fred. 2 years ago, two of my fleas were flown out to Hollywood to appear in a picture with Claudette Colbert.
What company made the picture?
Paramount.
Oh, that explains it. Paramount apparently will stoop to anything for talent. They even had me out there on a leash last summer. Well, this has been a mighty interesting glimpse behind the diminutive big top of your flea circus, Mr. Heckler.
Thanks, Fred. I've enjoyed talking about my little show.
And give my regards to your cast in the green room when you get back over there. And tell your fleas that they don't have to worry about the future. When they get old and they have to quit show business, tell them to come to me.
I didn't know you were a flea philanthropist, Fred.
Oh, yes, Mr. Heckler. I'm buying a St. Bernard. It will always be a refuge for old destitute fleas.
Good night, Fred.
Good night, and thank you, Mr. Warren. And now our house quartet, the Martins, huddle at the microphone to test the Hugh Martin arrangement of When You Climb Those Golden Stairs. Golden Stairs.
My organization.
Of what organization?
The Ladies' League for the Prevention of Unkindness to Cars.
The Ladies' League?
Yes. Oh, you've no idea how many cars are being treated unkindly these days, Mr. Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Why, I saw a poor old sedan at a curb just this evening.
Yeah.
The poor thing was so cold, its differential was all goose pimples.
Its differential was all goose pimples? No kidding.
I sat right down and knitted it a cozy.
Well, with a belt in the back, I hope. The differential. Well, that's the way your league functions. You knit garments for old, decrepit cars, huh?
Yes. Help us, ladies and gentlemen. Send in your old knitting needles. Send in your yarn. Send in anything...
Just a minute, madam. If you want to prevent unkindness to cars, here is a man who can put over a real message, Mr. Jimmy Wellington.
This is the time of the year when the makers of...
Can I be excused for about 15 minutes?
Excused why?
I've got my portable radio upstairs, and I've got to listen to the record quiz program.
The record quiz program? What is that?
Well, the announcer plays a record,
yeah,
and the first listener to phone in the name of the song gets a dollar.
Oh, you want to walk out on this program to listen to another one?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that's loyalty...
But they give away a dollar.
Why, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, Portland. For a measly dollar, you'd leave everybody on this program flat. Now, you wait till I tell Kenny. Kenny?
Just a minute, F.A. I'm on the phone.
Well, hurry up,
Hello? Record quiz program? That song is Beat Me, Daddy, 8 to the Bar. Yeah? Oh, boy, I'll be right over.
Kenneth Baker, you come back here.
Oh, but I'm in a hurry, F.A. I gotta see a man about a dollar.
Gosh, Kenny, did you win?
It wasn't Oscar Levant. Well, so long.
Now, wait. Just a minute, Junior. Have you forgotten a certain part-time job you have around here? It involves singing on the premises.
Charity is one thing, F.A., but a buck is 100 cents.
I am not interested in your revolutionary economic definitions, Kenneth Baker. Your first obligation is to this program. Now, and to make sure that you don't get out of here, I'm going to put your song on. This is rather spiteful, but I'm going through with it. I'm going to put your song on right now. Say, Maestro. Where's Goodman? Say, Goodman.
Yes? You're calling Goodman?
Yes, I am calling Goodman. I am changing the program around. Kenny is ready for his song.
Just a minute. Goodman is telephoning.
What is this? Suddenly everybody's telephoning.
Hello? That song is Beat Me to the Bar, Daddy, 8. What? Somebody already won it. Obviously, it's your own brother, Chisler.
Does it? Doesn't anybody beside the censor pay any attention to what's going on around here?
Nobody.
Who said that?
He, Goodman, said it.
Me? Suddenly I'm a tenor.
Now, look, if you three are trying to audition a mutiny, what is this?
Well, Kenny has something to tell you, Mr. Allen.
Kenny has what to tell me?
Well, if you want the truth, F.A., this program is old-fashioned. Nobody listens to it anymore.
Why are people suddenly not listening?
Because you don't give any money away.
That's right. This program is corny.
What is it? Nothing but entertainment.
Entertainment isn't enough on the radio today?
No, it isn't. You've got to give away money.
Yes, like all the successful programs, Double or Nothing, Take It or Leave It, Professor Quiz, Pot of Gold.
And why are they successful?
Why?
Their listeners send in questions and make money. The studio audience answers them and makes money. Everybody makes money.
On this program, we are the only ones who make money. It says here in the script.
Well, that's right. We don't ask our audience to do a thing, but sit back and enjoy themselves. And if we last long enough in radio, this program may be a novelty again.
Oh, you'd better wake up before it's too late, Mr. Allen.
I'll say, F.A., people don't go for radio shows today unless they can make money.
What kind of a quiz can I make out of this program?
I could be Dr. IQ if I had an IQ.
Put a waffle on my head, and I, Goodman, could be Kay Kaiser.
Look, a waffle on your head wouldn't look bad from what... A waffle you could part in the middle would look better than what you got. Well, look, I will admit that people get money from some of those quiz shows, but they do not get the money for nothing. That's my point.
Oh, no? Well, what about the pot of gold?
That's money for nothing.
All you have to do is sit at home.
I know a man who hasn't been out of the house for 3 years. For 3 years, he's been sitting by the telephone waiting for the pot of gold to call him up.
But if it does, he'll get $1,000.
All right. Spread out that $1,000 over the 3 years. He's getting $333 a year. Why, with 52 weeks, he's only getting $6.42 a week. Now, already, after 3 years, the man is so nervous, waiting for the call to come, he's spending $4 a week for cigarettes. Smoking. Jangled nerves. He can't sleep nights. He spends $2 a week for aspirin. Now, that leaves him 42 cents a week. And his phone bill each month is $6. That man is actually losing $5.58 a month.
You mean if he wins the pot of gold at the...
If he wins the pot of gold at the end of 3 years, that man loses $200.88. And also, he will be a victim of canatosis, which you get from sitting around the house on cane bottom chairs.
Lots of people make money on quiz shows.
You can't fight the trend, F.A. You gotta give away some money.
Well, all right. I'll give away money. But I will do it the right way. No slogans to be written in. No personal questions to be asked. No problems to be worked out. You don't even have to have a telephone.
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, hand me that hand microphone, will you please? Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in the history of radio, people are going to get money from a radio program without doing a thing for it. Kenny, here is a roll of bills. A small roll. We didn't have enough dough to go for it in a big way. Now, you come down in the audience with me. I'll give away money. I'll show you that, after all, there is a program. I beg your pardon, sir. What is your name?
Jerry Johnson.
Jerry Johnson, give Jerry Johnson $4. Did you, Jerry Johnson, did you have to do anything to get this money?
No, Mr. Allen.
Thank you very much. Jerry Johnson gets $4 for absolutely nothing. Madam, where do you live, madam?
New York.
New York City, give the lady $3. Here is a gentleman with a kind face. Give the gentleman with the kind face $2, Kenny. Thank you. Pardon me, sir. What size shoe do you wear? Gentleman wears an 8.5 shoe. Give him $4. Pardon me, madam. Here's a lady with glasses. Give the lady with the glasses $3, Kenny. Bifocals, $4, lady. You just missed it by $1. Pardon me, sir. How is the... I beg your pardon, madam. You want money? Well, I can't get in there with the microphone after... Oh, well, that's perfectly all right. Well, would you care to come out here? It's perfectly all right. This is one of those quizzes. You, no, wait a minute. Don't just give her a dollar for coming out that far. If she walks out all the way, Kenny, that will be exercise, and she will become automatically a professional pedestrian, and we don't want any professionals in the contest. Well, I tell you, let's, there's a lady with a... where did you get your hat, madam? Would you care to answer? Give the lady with the funny hat $3. Are, ladies and gentlemen, these lucky people have gotten the money for doing absolutely nothing. Am I right? No questions to ask, nothing. I'm sorry we didn't have enough to go around. I could have made it, but it's only an hour program. Give me a good sustainer and I'll be all over the house. With the, But I've gotten the money for doing... Do you want a cue,
but,
huh?
Mr. Allen, what about the people listening at home?
Gee, well, that's right, F.A. The folks at home didn't get anything.
Well, all right. Who's got a phone book?
I, Goodman, always have a phone book with me.
Well, turn to the last page of that phone book, Portland.
All right.
That Los Angeles phone book, by the way. This is for California. We went to a lot of trouble to get that here. The carrier pigeon was all in when he got here with it tonight. Round shoulders, little feathered clavicle all bent. Well, look in the last column of that Los Angeles phone book, Portland. Mm-hmm. Find the last name.
Uh-huh.
Count four names up. Mm-hmm. Who is it?
Mr. William A. Zylstra, 3117 Garnett. Los Angeles.
Send Mr. William A. Zylstra, 3117 Garnett, Los Angeles, $5. And now, Kenny, what are you going to sing?
Begin the Beguine.
Help yourself to 50 cents, Kenny. Even you. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have as a guest a man with a most unusual occupation. I give you Mr. Luther Burbank Snog. Now, what is it you do again, Mr. Snog?
I cross things.
Such as what?
Well, for instance, I am the first man that ever crossed a silkworm and a mort.
What was your motive?
Well, the silkworm made silk and the mort made holes. Boy, did I get some swell lace curtains. Oh.
Well, what are some of your other mergers, Mr. Snog?
Well, I crossed a beaver and a kangaroo once. I got a beaver coat with pocket.
Amazing. Well, tell me, do all of your experiments work out so magnificently?
All but one. I've been trying to cross a rubber plant with a tomato. I figured I would get a tomato that if it rolled off of your plate, it would bounce right back into your salad.
Oh, well, how did it work out?
Not good, brother. I took the tomato seed and I vulcanized the rubber plant seed onto it and I planted it. Then I sat down and waited for nature to do its stuff.
And nature reneged?
I don't understand it. Everything else I tried crossing was a success. Why did that seed turn out to be a dud?
That, my friend, is a question that stops me. But my learned colleague, Jimmy Wallington, M.D., Master of Duds, may have an explanation. Have you, Jimmy?
Well, all I know, Fred, is that when you plant seeds, some grow and others do not.
No dentist's plight, or the senator's tooth was a debutante at heart, so he knew it had to come out. Music, maestro.
And so to the tune of his theme song, Teeth for Two, we bid adieu to radio's friendly dentist, old Doc Allen. Old Doc Allen will be back on the air in half an hour with another extraction. Be sure to tune in, and don't forget old Doc Allen's slogan. If your teeth need filling, Doc Allen's willing. Good bite now. Okay, Doc.
Are we off the air, Ed?
Yeah, Doc, but you're on again in half an hour.
I know. I'll get back to my office and go over my next script.
Okay, Doc, I'll stand by.
Good morning, Nurse Moeller.
Good morning, Dr. Allen. How did your broadcast go?
Fine. I filled two teeth and got in 17 commercials in 10 minutes.
Radio is certainly booming your business, Doctor.
Yes, I'm the first dentist to open an office right in a radio studio and put all of my patients on the air. I'm working on a new theme song now.
Have you got a melody in mind?
Yes. Hand me down my Novocaine. Oh, hand me down my Novocaine. Hand me... this must be my next patient. Hand me my script, nurse, and open the door.
Yes, Doctor.
How do you do, Dr. Allen?
How do you do, Mr. Ludwig?
Goodbye, Dr. Allen.
Goodbye, Mr. Ludwig. Oh, hand me down my Novocaine. Oh, hand me... Come in.
How do you do, Dr. Allen?
How do you do, Mr. Ludwig?
Goodbye, Dr. Allen.
Goodbye, Mr. Ludwig.
Well, who was that?
Mr. Ludwig is a model patient. He always sees his dentist twice a year. Has any fan mail come in for me?
Yes, I just opened this bundle of letters here.
What's this top one? Well, I won't have time to read these letters now, nurse. I've got to run over these scripts for my next four broadcasts. You know, I'm on the air every half hour until noon.
Who's your special guest star today?
Senator Botts.
Senator Botts?
Senator Botts. I retreaded the senator's upper plate last week. He was so crazy about it, he insisted on coming on my program today and speaking through his new teeth.
Isn't it almost time for your next broadcast, Doctor?
Yes, it is, nurse. I've got one coast-to-coast extraction, a Mr. Weir, I believe, and then my big guest show with Senator Botts.
This may be the senator now.
Possibly. Oh, it's Mr. Weir.
Oh, Doctor, my tooth is killing me.
Well, we'll go on the air in just a minute.
Can't you take my tooth out now, Doc?
Not until we get on the air, Mr. Weir.
Oh, but this tooth is...
Lucky you. There's the buzzer, Mr. Weir. We're going on the air.
Hi, Kevin. Oh.
Now, here's your script, your patient script. The dentist chair is next door in the studio. Follow me, please.
Oh, this tooth has killed me.
20 seconds, Doc. Stand by.
Okay.
Hurry, Doc. Hurry.
Now, just sit in this dentist chair, Mr. Weir, and read your script into this combination microphone and rinse bowl.
Oh, but this tooth...
Stand by, everybody. We're on the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, old Doc Allen presents his dental sensation of the air, Fang Busters. And here he is, radio's one and only friendly dentist, old Doc Allen.
Well, hi, you all patients. Yes, Lance. This is old Doc Allen, radio's friendly dentist, coming to you again on the half hour. Now, this time I'm presenting as my patient, Mr. Bascom Weir.
Oh, hurry, Doc, hurry.
Control yourself, Weir. Now, where do you live, Mr. Weir?
I live in Cincinnati,
Ohio. Well,
oh, this back tooth is killing me, Doc. Oh.
Here, no ad-libbing, Weir. Stick to your script.
Oh...
And now, folks, presenting the queen of the ether, lovely Nurse Moeller.
Hello, everybody. I want to thank you all for the many letters you've written in saying how much you've enjoyed my anesthesia work on old Doc Allen's programs.
You're the last with the gas, Nurse Moeller.
Oh, hurry up, Doc. This tooth is killing me.
All right, Weir, all right. Folks, old Doc Allen is ready. Open wide, Mr. Weir.
Oh.
Wider.
Oh.
Time's up, Doc.
Well, sorry, folks. We're a little late. The program's running a little long. I won't have time to make Mr. Weir's extraction here after all. This is old Doc Allen hustling up and saying goodbye, all.
Goodbye. Hey, Doc, what about my tooth?
You'll have to come back another day, Mr. Weir. So long, folks.
Will Mr. Weir come back another day? Will Mr. Weir get that aching tooth pulled out? Will Mr. Weir go to another dentist? Has old Doc Allen seen the last of Mr. Weir? Stay tuned in and find out. And don't forget, old Doc Allen's big guest star show in 10 minutes, starring Senator Bott.
Okay, we're off the air, Doc.
Fine, I'll get back to my office. Oh, hand me down my Novocaine. Oh, hand me down. Well, Nurse Moeller, has Senator Bott arrived yet?
He's in the waiting room.
Well, show him in.
Come in, Senator.
Thank you.
Well, Senator Bott.
Well, Dr. Allen, won't you meet my manager, Big Jim Tully?
Hiya. Now, the Senator's a busy man, Doc.
I'll put you on the air right away.
Oh, that's fine.
When America hears you speak wearing an old Doc Allen upper plate, my business will boom.
Yes, it will. This front tooth seems to be a little loose, Doctor.
Well, it's the new jive, swing pivot tooth.
Oh. I put in.
It gives a little, looks more natural.
I see. Very well, I'll run over my speech.
Go right here, Senator.
This is an important talk, Dr. Allen. The entire nation will be listening in.
Gad, what a plug for old Doc Allen.
Yes, I'm welcoming all soldiers and sailors who've been listening.
You ain't got much time, son. You better rehearse that speech of yours.
Yes, that's Big Tim telling that.
Big Tim, yes.
Soldiers and sailors, salutation. From the sunny slopes of the sultry south to the soaring summits of the Sierras, Do I have to use all these S's, Tim?
The way Wendell wants it.
Oh, I see. Well, every time I say S, this front tooth wobbles. I may lose it.
Ridiculous, Senator. My work is guaranteed. Now, if you're not satisfied...
Oh, the Senator's nuts about his new uppers, Doc. Yes. That's why he's up here speaking on your program.
Exactly. Now, what's the rest of this speech? Oh, yes, right here. Soldiers and sailors... wait a moment, I clear my throat. Soldiers and sailors... Hey, it's chewing. What is this?
Dad.
Hey, wait a minute. Look at this.
The tooth.
Your front tooth is gone, Senator.
Yes, I know. I swallowed it.
Those S's, Senator Bob.
Yes, but you told me that tooth would stay in.
But you...
Politically, I'm...
Look, we'll run you out of dentistry, Alan.
Yes, you slimy scoundrel, you'll see.
You hear that?
You sound like Whistler's father.
Stand by. Senator Botts is on the air in 2 minutes.
On the air? I'm scuttling. That's what I am.
You better replace that with your tooth in a hurry, Alan.
Yes.
If Senator Botts goes on the air talking this way, you'll be laughed out of office.
Sure, I'll be ostracized.
Now, stop whistling, Senator.
Yes.
You'll have this place full of dogs in no time.
Listen, how can I stop whistling? Every time I say yes, I whistle. See, I sound silly.
Run the air in 1 minute, Senator Botts. Stand by.
Stand by. I'm sunk.
This is your last chance, Alan. All right, Dennis, pick the Senator up.
Now, look. Senator.
Yes?
Try putting your finger into the gap in your upper plate.
Yes, I will. Very good. Like this?
Now, that's fine. Can you talk?
Well, I can talk, but nobody can understand what I'm saying.
That's no good. You better come up with another idea, Alan.
Yeah.
Open your mouth, Senator. I'll take out that plate.
Okay.
There. Now, say something.
Say something? What shall I say? Try to control it. Try to take it.
No,
listen
no.
Listen to that.
The Senator can't go on the air bumping his gums.
Yes.
Haven't you got a spare upper plate?
Well, yes. Here are some uppers I made for Joey Brown.
Yeah.
Slip these in, Senator.
Okay.
You can't whistle now, can you?
Hey, these are so big I can't even close my mouth.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Take them out. Take them out.
Okay.
All he needs is one pivot tooth, Alan.
Yes, I swallowed the other one.
10 seconds, Senator Botts. Stand by.
10 seconds, please. I've got to come through. I've got it. Give me your teeth, Senator.
Here they are.
Where are you going, Alan?
Just over here to my desk.
Say, what's he doing, Tim?
I don't know. Oh, quiet, Senator. He's coming back with your teeth.
All right.
Here.
Say, your pivot tooth is replaced, Senator.
Oh, good.
Zip your uppers back in.
Yeah. Why, these are perfect. Soldiers and sailors, salutations.
You ain't whistling, Senator.
Oh, Doc Allen, you're wonderful. Where did you get this new pivot tooth on such short notice? It's dead. Your front tooth is gone.
Yes, Senator. Gentlemen, the nightcap message from Larry Elliott.
All American is a term you hear a lot of these...